This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a terrific day as we're off and running. Brian is back. Wolchuk is, he's not here. They got the baby home. Got the text last night. Everything is going well for the Wolchuk. So congrats to Zach and family. That's a special day.
Huge, huge. And I imagine right now he's going to battle with a car seat. Yes. And I just wonder how long that thing's going to last, because those fights can, those can be knockout, dragout situations, man.
Yeah.
Drive you nuts.
When you're not quite sure what to do, that's one thing I would recommend to every dad out there is get the car seat handled even before you go in for the delivery.
For sure. You want to pull up into that parking lot already secured, and now your only thing is making sure this tiny little infant baby is put in soft and appropriately. But that should be mom's job anyway, you know, if we're being real.
I went to the fire station and they installed it for me. Did you guys do something like that?
I did not do that.
That was something that they can do. I learned through a source. If you go to the fire station, they'll help you out. They have an idea of how to put the thing in.
I think Wolchuk kicked the tires on that, and apparently fire stations have been bowing out of that particular.
Oh, are they?
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah, they are
busy with it.
Not as resourceful there.
20 years ago,
according
I did
to Wolchuk, maybe, yeah. But he said there are other locations throughout just the Metroplex anywhere that you can pop off and have somebody show you how to secure that thing and make sure you're good to go.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he made that particular stop. But what a huge day. Getting baby home's awesome.
They're not going to let you leave that hospital unless that thing's in there secure.
No.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the baby has to sit. Wolchuk was saying that the baby has to be in at a certain length of time.
Yeah, they had to pass that threshold the other day.
Like a test.
Special preemie rules, I think.
Bringing the car seat into the hospital and having the baby sit in it and making sure her vitals are still appropriate for like 90 minutes or so sitting there. And it's like, okay, she qualifies now, she can handle it.
Most terrifying ride you've ever been on, taking that baby home?
It was fine.
I felt like I was driving 15 miles an hour and we were like 2 miles from the hospital. I felt like I literally was driving 15 miles an hour. Every bump I was, you know, trying to avoid. And seriously, it was really the most terrifying ride home, thinking, oh, please don't let anything happen to me as I'm doing it.
It's amazing how much that wears off after kid number 2 and 3.
Dude.
Yes. We're good.
Yeah. First kid, I think I traumatized Abby into being too careful. Right. I was like, my job's to keep you safe. Yeah. I can't let anything bad happen. You can't fall off this. You can't eat the wrong thing. Yeah. With Remy, she's, I think, a little bit more courageous because I'm like, whatever, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you fall off that playground structure, you're going to survive. You know, kids are built bouncy, aren't they?
But wait till they start telling you, hey, man, you got to let me try some things, Dad. Yeah. You got to let me try it. How am I going to learn without trying it?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. The first one, I think, has that additional barrier to cross through. Indeed. But yes, Wolchuk got the baby home, and congrats to him. Send him some love on social media, and he'll be back, you know, before the draft, obviously. You know, I know he's very excited about that draft coverage, but that's a big deal. I think they've been in there for 5 or 6 weeks, if you can imagine. I mean, it drove me crazy even being in that hospital room for a couple of days.
Since the day we landed in Surprise, bro, I think it's six weeks and change.
That's like, right.
So it's been a grind, dude.
Okay, and speaking of Surprise and baseball, Rangers, Astros, Silver Boot resuming tonight at 7 o'clock. Sands is coming up. He'll join us at 6 o'clock, official pregame at 6:30. And it's a What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday, so you'll have a chance to chime in with your phone calls coming up at 5:20. So if you're already day drinking, you're going to want to set some sort of an alarm. You know how things can get away from you a little bit when you're cracking them in the middle of the day. Cost myself some front row seats back in the day, actually, due to some day drinking. But that's a story for another time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do want to tell you the Fan's Path to the Draft coverage is brought to you by our friends at Pluckers. We will be at all 8 Pluckers locations partying with you on opening night of the draft. It's also brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. And Brian, I know you are in the final approach here. You're stacking your board. You're getting everything put together, right? Organized.
Yeah, I am. Actually, I've got through the first 2 rounds of stacking my players. So
you're not window dressing that thing, are you?
I'm trying not to. The problem I'm running into though is you start to hear late medical information on guys. So now you have to think about, okay, when will you take this guy? Will you take him at the second round, or is he a fourth round player? Or, you know, you just, the more medical stuff you hear the character stuff. I could deal with the character stuff. It's the medical that hurts me, because you do not want to get going in this draft and all of a sudden Wolchuk asks, well, who's your best player on your board left? And you're starting to talk about a guy, and then you find out, well, he goes 2-3 rounds later because he had a medical condition that we didn't know about. And there's some guys that we're starting to hear that are pretty prominent players that I need to run down right now that might have some issues on boards in first rounds.
Wow. You know, I think like lower leg injuries, I'm looking at back. One round. If it's catastrophic, yeah. You know, Achilles, I might go 2 rounds. If it's a back type of thing, now Tank had a back type of thing, allowed you to get him top of the second round.
Right.
So maybe that was a half round deduction. I don't know how much Tank slipped that particular year. I think if something's spinal, though, or if you're dealing with a series of concussions, those are things where it's like, dude, 2-3 rounds.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you can really dork around with that. It would cost the Cowboys big time with Van Der Esch.
Yeah, there are some concussion players you're going to have to deal with here that you have to figure out. I mean, how many have been reported? You know, do we have 2 reported and really he's got 5 of them? You know, that's
yeah, that's the thing with the concussions too. Like any number you see, it could be substantially more than that.
Exactly.
But yeah, Ranger Stroh tonight, it's Dunning against France. I saw the Lone Star Ball guys were calling Dane a stunning Dane Dunning, perhaps better than my cunning Dane Dunning. So I think we'll go with that. JP France is a quality arm, though, for Houston. So as far as what we're looking at with him, it's not going to be an easy afternoon, even though he's not off to the best start. Last year, his numbers were quite solid. ERA under 4, twice as many wins as losses. But here's the thing I've learned with baseball. As we go into this series, I know you want to sweep the Astros. I know you want a continuation of the ALCS. But I think where I'm at is we just want to see them perform well with the things that they can control, Brian. Quality at bats, good spin rates, good velocity, good defense. And you let the chips fall where they may right there. That is why a guy like CY can be a little detached from the results. As long as we're doing the things that are going to add up to victories, like not letting Jose Leclerc close games, I'm going to be satisfied with wherever we end up on Monday.
The thing that I didn't have was losing 2-3 to the A's.
That was brutal.
That was tough. But yeah, you're talking about the things that they can control. And to be one hit by the A's yesterday, man, I just did not see that one coming.
Not a lot of quality at-bats.
Not a lot of quality at-bats. I think they got a little unlucky with maybe a call. The infield fly rule seemed like to me that
freakish.
That was a strange call to make, and you know you lose the opportunity there. But, man, you cannot mess around and lose games to the Oakland A's. And I know the A's, they had a pretty good road trip, you know, going back to Oakland, but Yeah, that's a team that you look at the roster and your lineup and their lineup, and you missed opportunities there. The Astros aren't playing particularly well, and we keep talking about distance. Try and get a little distance. You know, you just can't mess around here. So this series, I think, in Houston is really, really important because you're not going to see these guys for a while.
We're going to get your maybe not desperate teams, but hungry teams. Teams that have been a little bit embarrassed. The Rangers here by the A's in this last series, and then what's going down with the Astros and just how dominated they just got and how historically bad they were yesterday, particularly in that first inning with Hunter Brown. So, yeah, you're going to get 2 hungry teams coming in here. Maybe the bats come alive in a huge way, and Minute Maid Park might be just the park to do that.
Any concerns with Langford's start at this point?
You know what? I'm not going to say I'm that guy, but all the talk about him, I was worried. Worried in a way of, is it too much? Mm-hmm. Are we putting too much on him? And I was talking about, you know, how he was going to have to adjust. I mean, the way that he just, like a meteor going through the farm system, and then how he's your starter, and I just wondered if it was going to be as fast as he's done so far. I was wondering, like, oh, is he going to keep this going and all? But there's also a side of me is like, I was worried that we're expecting too much. We're asking too much of him. And I kind of feel like that he's doing some things well and others that, you know what, it's something we probably should have saw.
I mean, number one, it's going to be really hard to adjust to the pitchers once it gets into April, and now they're not just throwing.
Right.
Now they've totally built up. They got a game plan for you.
They got a plan on you, yeah.
But then also the psychological factor of having so much excitement around you and having so much success.
Right.
You know, like managing that success is usually something that, you know, veterans are trying to figure out as like their final step to being a consistent ball player. But, you know, Lankford had to deal with that in his first spring training. And it can be tough to stay focused. I mean, sure, the power numbers aren't there. We'd love to see him barrel up some baseballs. He's just not getting great contact. But at least his average is decent. What is it, 240 right now? His average is, you know, enough to sustain you, so you don't have to think about sending him down or anything. But
yeah,
we could use a hot couple of series, especially at a time like this. It'd be really exciting for the fans right now.
I kind
of
felt like that we all thought he was going to be about 327 with seven homers and 27 RBIs by now.
Yeah. I mean, I might have floated the first rookie to also win MVP since Ichiro at spring training.
You know what? You're not the only one, though.
877-881-1053. What was your craziest preseason Wyatt Lankford take? We'd love to hear it. Can you out-take old Dawson over there? Because that's pretty dang impressive.
I listen to the show, the baseball show of record, before our show all the time.
Yeah, I love the Kansas Masterpiece.
Bunch of cheerleaders on that show.
Oh, wow.
Bunch of cheerleaders on that show.
Hey, Lankford is not, he's not playing terribly. It's not like this dude is just a shell of himself right now. The plate discipline is still very much so there.
Nice.
The umping has been, I mean, there's been times where, oh my gosh, bro, it's
umping,
6 inches outside the friggin' box here.
All right.
And you're going to go ahead and take that as a strike. The umping has been terrible. And I mean, the bats just in general haven't been for the Rangers right now. You know what I mean? You got to get the, that contagiousness back.
Get this guy some protection.
We didn't have that either. We all thought this was offense. It was one in the first couple of weeks of the season. It was one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah, it's died out right
now.
Just
all it took was a pitcher from the A's to come in here in this first year and throw it 103 miles.
I was about
an hour.
To say, dude, when you're throwing when you're throwing 102
Seager,
and 103
yeah.
when you're K-ing out four times over, giving the golden sombrero to Corey Seager.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you got to give some credit there.
I'm giving credit, but I did not expect to lose 2-3 to the A's.
No, hey, that makes two of us, and it ticks me off.
We're going into game 14 now. No home run from Lankford. I mean, I was asking Jared on opening day, first home run that you call, whether radio or TV, can we get a bang bang for the audio with the crowd in the background? I figured we'd have three or four of them things by now. I thought double-digit bomb skis in the month of April, just a continuation of his dominant spring training. But we are still waiting, and now, you know, you're dealing with some superstar makeup. So I have a feeling he will not be silent for long in the home run department. Shohei Ohtani's ex-interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, is in custody. 16 mil was the total bag that he got off Shohei. Just a really unbelievable story. But I think at this point, after seeing more evidence, I can totally see how now Ohtani, you know, didn't know about anything. I believe he wasn't involved in gambling or the sending of the money. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, it was $4 million, and now it's to $16 million. And the guy's sitting in jail. Shohei's not trying to protect him in any way. And I think if it was, you know, your friend, maybe you would be doing that. But that's not happening. Just going to be really interesting to see how that whole thing plays out and what more information we get.
I look forward to the book that comes out in 5 years written by Shohei called If I Bet on Those Games, This Is What I Would Have Bet on.
Dude, Mavs host the Pistons tonight.
Lost in Translation would be a good book for him.
Right? Dallas, a double-digit favorite, even with their players in question. So Detroit's really horrible. And you should get the win. Clippers going to host the Jazz. Outside shot, the Mavs can still take that 4 seed, right? So if Clippers could lose this game, then things would get really interesting. I don't know. I'm not trying to play anybody. If that happens, good. But I don't think the risk of injury at this point, considering how things have gone, how exhausted these guys are. Stars were shut out by Winnipeg. 3-0. Ouchie. Could have nailed down the division, taken the lead for the President's Trophy, and ended Colorado's chances of having home ice against you in the playoffs. But neither of those things happened. You couldn't even score, Brian. What the heck happened?
No, I tell you what. Winnipeg came in here and played him in a different style that the Stars weren't really used to. And so that, to me itself, they had some opportunities. They just could not capitalize enough on them. And Winnipeg's playing, you know, Winnipeg's one of those teams, too, that's got a lot of pride. And they're kind of like, listen, hey, you're not going to clinch on us. And they played like they were – they, you talk about desperate teams. They played, like, even though they're a really good team, they played with more desperation last night than the Stars.
Tough on Walchuk, though, because Walchuk was in the building, and the superstitious nature of him, he might now refrain from allowing himself in that building throughout the entire postseason.
He might have should have left early. He might have
helped. I just feel bad for him on that one.
Maybe
he's going to blame himself.
Yeah, he should.
The best athletes do.
You know, good you look job, in the Stars. You cost yourself the Woolly Bully last night.
Yeah. Gosh dang it.
Okay, we have Masters leaderboard. Looks like Tiger's going to make the cut. He's one over right through 16, so he's teeing off on 17.
He is.
DeChambeau and Scheffler, it's an all DFW first place right now. Max Homa is two off the pace, or one off the pace through 16.
Max Homa looks so scared right now. I know he's one back, but his body language does not look like a very confident golfer. I wonder if there's some things that are shaking him right now.
He said his expectations now are up really, really high. You know, yeah. You kind of want to slow play the dominance, and then you start. Then you're the fun story that is chasing victory there on the final day. But when you have to keep a lead, not that he's in the lead right now, but sitting there six under, he's flirting with DeChambeau and Scheffler there. Yeah, maybe the expectations. You know, he's like, crap, I didn't realize I was going to be golfing my rear end off right now.
I think his best Masters finish is somewhere like, you know, like T46 or something like that. So, yeah, he's in a different area code right now. Looks like Danny Willett is going to bogey that hole. What is he on there?
It's 4-under through 12 now.
Oh, yep. He bogeyed the 12th hole there. So, yeah, Danny Willett, the past champion, maybe one of the most unlikely champions. That's when Jordan Spieth fell apart. Danny Willett played really well in the back nine and got that championship.
Ooh, there's a tough shot from Scheffler as he's on in the home stretch now. Tied for the lead with DeChambeau is round two of the Masters. We'll have it on TV and give you updates throughout the afternoon. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Even if Luka doesn't win the MVP, why it's the greatest season of his career next in the nation. Battling a sneeze as we come back here. The G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 7 minutes. New piece out from our guy Tim Cato in The Athletic, who joined us yesterday. The tease was Luka's best season ever. And the headline from Tim, Luka has reached MVP status, and that matters more than actually winning it. Let's talk about this. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, you want to read Tim's stuff in The Athletic. He's incredible. He says, what Doncic has done this year has transcended his past four seasons in which he finished top eight in MVP voting and made first team each time. He's no longer in the conversation of someone who deserves a mention. He has surpassed those qualifiers and reached a higher level this season. If he were the league's MVP, it would be earned. I think there's a lot of stuff that's come together for him. Not being as concerned about the officials is one. Being more focused on defense is two. You know, I think you have to look at the leadership, the head coach, and then Kyrie Irving, who he obviously has a tremendous amount of respect for. As you know, potential catalyst, Luka coming up on 25 years old, that is big as well. I've been talking about the last couple of years. Luka's got to get this figured out when it comes to the mindset by age 25, and that is the age where the childlike portions of your brain that overpower you with emotions are have receded to the point that you should be able to handle them as an adult. And you know, some players can't grasp that. The toxicity of their competitive nature is too high. But Luka has shown incredible growth over the last, you know, couple. So I think he deserves credit for sure, but so do the people around him. I think they finally got a great supporting cast that's capable of, you know, helping him optimize his talents.
Also, the general managers helped him too.
Yes.
Put better players around him.
And maybe that's what focused him.
I think so. I think that, you know, when all Luka was looking for was some commitment one way or another, and he got commitment from his GM, you know, instead of, you know, hey, I'm tired of playing with these jobbers, you know, find me some players. And that's the one thing that Nico Harrison's been able to do is go out and find him some players. They hadn't sat on his hands, just hope that Luka's going to carry these guys. I mean, he went out and got him some legitimate players and they've done a great job with, you know, on a nightly basis playing, as you mentioned, really good defense. The offense has always been there. And Kyrie is, you know, we all worried about what distraction was going to take him away from being one of the top basketball players in the league. We had none of that here in Dallas. He's been totally focused. He's got the team around him focused, and he's got the superstar player Luka focused as well. But give that GM a lot of credit.
Definitely. Plenty of credit to go around. And I think when it comes to Luka, I mean, he's been so great since the moment he stepped on the court. Like, where could you get better here? And I wonder how much of it is attributed to just him being in better shape, because his three ball is so much better this year. I think that's really, like, one of the most important aspects of his game that has taken another level. Like, for his career, he's 34.5% from the three-point line. This year, he's slightly over 38%. And his step-back threes, he's connecting on at a 40% clip.
Wow.
And his range, I mean, we see how his range is just ridiculous. And he's always had that in spots, but it wasn't always efficient. Like, the step-back three, he's always had it as a part of his arsenal, but it wasn't nearly as efficient and effective as it is now, which is he's taking, like, five or six step-back threes a game, and he's making, like, three of them at a time. Like, he's the three-point shooting, and again, I don't know how much of that is just working on the three-point shooting and getting better and better at it, and how much of that is I still have my legs under me at the end of these games and just throughout these games because I'm in better condition.
Right.
And I've always been able to hit these shots, but when I'm exhausted, which I have been my entire career until now, because I got a guy who's a running mate here, so I can give Kyrie the ball at times, and then also he's in better shape.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. You can't overlook it. Some other things from Tim's article. What's changed this year? Doncic doesn't have a preferred style of play. He'll adapt to the choices an opponent makes to attempt slowing him down. He'll throw lobs against a team guarding his pick and rolls with drop coverage. He'll put on a scoring show in isolation against teams that switch. He'll sling audacious passes around the court for anything else. Once his only weakness was an inconsistent jumper, but now he's second only to Steph Curry there with the three ball. He leads the league in points and true shooting percentage of 61.7. And when teammates shoot from a Doncic pass, the percentage they've expected to shoot based on per-second Spectrum's tracking data, a 57.9 effective field goal percentage, is the league's highest mark. So how do you measure how good a point guard is at creating chances? Assists is one way, you know, but, you know, the true shooting percentage of the guy who catches it, how great of an opportunity are you giving him? How perfect are you delivering the pass so he can catch and shoot smoothly? And how much attention are you taking away from the rest of the defense onto you? You know, all those things are accounted for in that stat right there. And, you know, it's number one. So, you know, I think, you know, the biggest thing is Kyrie Irving being a secondary superstar. Like, what has changed this team's outlook? It's Kyrie Irving. You know, you saw James Harden in Houston by himself, and then they had 1 year of, like, prime Chris Paul. They damn near took down the Warriors. They had him 3-2 that year in Houston, right? And in the Harden-Luka comparison, even if they're not exactly one-for-one comparisons, the situations that they're in, those Rockets compared to these Mavs are very, very similar. But yeah, Luka probably not going to win the MVP is the other thing that Tim's hinting at here. A lot of people are starting to say that is probably not this year, maybe going to Jokic, who may have a better year and has his team as number one in the West, but his time is coming soon enough.
Even bigger chip on the shoulder for the playoff run. That's what I'm calling. And shout out to Big E in the 4-3-2. Luka went from reds to lights, and that's made all the difference.
yeah, dude. I remember when Rasheed Wallace came back to training camp 1 year, I was covering the Trailblazers, and he looked slim, and a reporter asked him, "You get in shape this offseason?" He goes, "No, I switched to Heineken lights." Time now for the G-bag of the day. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
Trying to provide. Hey. All right. Let's see what we got right here. I got some good stuff for you boys today. Good stuff. Get all my paperwork together here.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, happy Friday, man. We made it, baby. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Our winner still is Bobby Belt. I don't know what day is this. What is it? Day number 3 for Bobby?
Yeah. I think so.
About right.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, man.
Well, because we didn't do it yesterday, right? Because
of the situation.
Yeah, we didn't do it yesterday, so that's what I was thinking. Yeah, it confused us a little bit here. Bobby Belt, who was on in the RJ and Choppy show in the morning, he's a Cowboy insider for us, too, by the way. He thought he was doing Dr. Drew's show, Love Lines. Hey, Dr. Drew, I've got this bump right here. He used to call and tell Dr. Drew all types of stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah, who's the guy? Herpes hotline?
Yeah, basically.
The other guy was in there, too, making jokes, right?
Yeah. I can't remember all
Man
the
Show
characters.
Guy. Yeah. What was his name, dude? He had like a hot 8 years.
Yeah, sure did. All right, here's Bobby Belt on the sex line.
All right.
Remix.
Computer acting funky. Here we go.
All right. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Franklin Prinkle, injury attorney, sex line, 877-881-1053.
Sex line?
Sex line, yeah.
Text line.
I don't know. That was close.
Ask Scrotit's like an AI sex chatbot, you know?
Ask Scrotit.
All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here.
Well, I'll be leaving then, Bobby. I'm out of here.
Hello, thanks for the question.
All right, let's see what else we got for you boys next. Our boss, Gavin Spittle, he does a podcast about hockey. He's the Hockey Hawk. Mm-hmm. Do you know who his co-host is?
Luds.
There we go.
Bits and suds there, Craig Ludwig.
Yeah, he jumped on the RJ and Choppy show talking real disrespectful.
Craig, are you there? You got us?
Yes, I've got you as long as Gavin Spittle's not on the line. I'm good.
All right, give us the pros and the cons of doing the Spits and Suds podcast with our boss.
Well, first off, who named him something Hawk?
Hockey Hawk. Yes.
Who gave him that title?
You know, I think it may have been self-appointed.
Yeah, was that
Can you name yourself? Can you nickname yourself?
Yeah, well, it should be more like the Hockey Sparrow or something like that. The hawk doesn't really. If you've seen Gavin, he doesn't look like the hawk. You know, out here,
jeez, bro.
I'm on Lake Louisville, wow. And you know how them great big crows are flying around. There's that little tiny bird that's always on the back of its tail. That's me on the Spits and Suds. I mean, that's I'm the big blackbird, and the little hockey sparrow's the one nipping at my heels.
Oh, man, dude.
Listen to the dismount of that same interview.
This was absolutely tremendous, especially the beginning. Next time you see our boss, tell him that we did not put you up to that, and we can't wait to have you back on again. Have a great game today, Craig. Miller's on us.
That's gotta hurt having to call him your boss.
Jeez, oh my gosh.
I'm sensing like Russ Martin energy in
there. Have a heart, Craig. Have a heart.
Yeah, I don't know how friendly that is.
Hey. All right, let's go to the two-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold.
I think it's three now. I think it's three Hall of Fames.
For sure. Yeah, I just listened to this guy all through junior high and high school every morning on the K104 morning show. He used to do the Johnsonville brat commercial. He acted like he was eating at the same time and how good the brat was. This is so good.
Bro, I got to see these.
Yeah, it's wild, bro.
We got to dig those up.
It's wild. Yeah, but he was talking about O.J. Simpson, slow speed chase story.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you at when that happened? Listen to Chris. Came in hot.
Back in the press area in Madison Square Garden, after the chase was about winding up, Robert Kardashian, Kim's dad, and he was representing O.J., he's reading this suicide letter that O.J. had written. And we're all standing in the press room. I'm standing next to Ahmad Rashad. And he's going through this letter saying goodbye to people or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he goes, and my good friend Ahmad Rashad, and the whole room looks at Ahmad Rashad. And Ahmad just looks down to the ground. And then he just walks away and got in a limo and just disappeared.
Wow.
He just disappeared. I'm sounding like LeBron.
Let's go.
Just disappeared.
Jeez, bro.
Comfortable Chris.
Jeez, bro.
Yes, dude.
I love that he put the F word in between one other word. Disableeping peered. just as comfortable as ever. And this is great because I had accidentally let some audio slip a few moments prior. And in the commercial break, Chris was, you know, he was loving that, making fun of me.
The LeBron slip.
Yeah.
Don't effing foul.
The streaming listeners got two F-bombs in the course of like 20 minutes.
They sure did. I like how Chris said freaking at the end of it. Hold up.
Yeah.
And just this a f***ing beard. Excuse me, a freaking beard.
What? Freaking beard. I didn't even hear that.
Yes.
When I was on my way out, I could hear Lucius and the next person playing it and laughing about it already. I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. I laughed about it the whole way home. Man, I've been looking forward to the G-Bag of the Day all day for this very moment right
here. He just said it.
Freaking beard. Freaking beard.
Freaking beard. A f***ing beard. Excuse me, freaking beard.
What?
Freaking beard.
I know who I want to vote for already, Lucius. Are there any other nominees?
Yeah, if you want to go fishing this weekend, should be a nice weekend from what I see. Make sure that you don't fish in a private area.
What do you think you're doing?
I'm fishing.
There's no fishing here.
I don't see no
sign. This is a private pond. Do you live in this neighborhood?
No, I don't.
Leave right now. Sir, if you do not leave right now, I'm going to call the cops on you. Do you understand me?
All right. Tell me when to get here, okay?
No. Leave. I'm going to wait right here.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I left my phone in my car. I'm going to go get my phone, and I'm going to call the cops on you. This is not a joke.
Okay.
Does it look like I'm joking right now?
You get some of those ponds around these neighborhoods. There's some honey holes, man. You
sure
don't want somebody
is,
infringing on you.
I cannot wait to fish out of the ponds over there by my dad's crib. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Big Nobody's over there, too, and it's a big, huge pond. Cattails. Ooh. Docks. I'm about to go crazy.
Watch the sun come up and go down from that same spot.
And I'm going to kick people away just like that.
You have no business being over here.
My daddy lives here. Bobby Belt, our two-time champ with the escrowed it bit. Luds on the Hockey Hawk. Chris Arnold. Disa-bleeping peered. Freaking peered. Freaking peered. No fishing here. I'm voting CA, Chief. How about you?
Oh, guaranteed CA.
Yeah, buddy.
Right. I'll throw a vote for Ludwig. How about that?
By a score of 3-1, your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Chris Arnold. Okay, he was getting fired up for the Get Right last night. Big night. I mean, it's really cool how you go back in that time, whether it's the OJ story, Bo Jackson, all the way through Kobe, Shaq. Like, you have CA around, and the room just stops to listen to him explain, you know, like where he was as these major stories were, you know, playing out. All right, where are we going next, Brian?
Yeah, how about the six Cowboys that are on thin ice heading into this draft? We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Woolchuck got the baby home, so he's going to be out for a few days. Send him some love on social. Here's Brian Broaddus, Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. That's right. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Reliant Air Conditioning. Here's Broaddus.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the folks at Reliant for doing that. Really appreciate you. Also want to say, got a love of the Star Up after our show today. If you want to give it a listen, please feel free to do so. We'd love to have you do that. Bobby and I went through the possibility of names at 24. We went through a lot of those, kind of handicapped them a little bit and positions and stuff. Even talked about some defensive guys as well, so. If you would give that a listen again after our show tonight, we'd appreciate that. And also want to say real quickly, thank you to all the guys and gals that registered for Draft 101. We put that up. We're doing it at the Star in Frisco at the Cowboys facility, which is a first for us to do. And we appreciate the partnership with the Cowboys as well. And Miller Lite also is a sponsor there on that. But we're going to have a fun night with all of us involved and taking your questions and stuff like that. That thing sold out in basically
record time.
Yeah, it was quick. I didn't know the number of hours, but again, appreciate everybody for taking interest in our little group that does scouting. All right. Did you guys miss me yesterday at all?
I did, man. I had some OJ stuff on deck, and I knew that you knew all about that. We could have, like, really gotten to some deep theories and whatnot.
I'm sorry that I missed you on that, Luce. I called into the Chris and Reggie show last night. I appreciate them popping me on. And
I heard about 5 minutes in, you disa-bleeping peered.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though.
Freaking peered.
I actually, that was one of those times in my life I've never been more involved in something like that. When I was living in Green Bay, and I was telling the guys last night that me and John Snyder were in the war room in Green Bay when that all went down, the, you know, the verdict when it was read. And but that whole year, I'll never forget just leaving work and going straight home and like
court TV.
Yeah. Well, it's CNN, you know, Jim Moray and Jerry Spence and Greta Van Susteren. I mean, they had all these reporters got their start because of the OJ trial. And I'll never forget how it just every day it was something different, you know, like the cross-examination with those guys, you know, with Fung, the criminologist, the coroner, you know, Barry Scheck. I mean, it was amazing how they just took apart the case of the city of Los Angeles. And it's just one thing after another. But yeah, it was I got to the point where I met Nicole Brown Simpson. I met her sister. I was in Cincinnati. We were
looked just like her too.
Yeah, remember the Jerry Brown game where he passed away, and then we played the game in Cincinnati. That was on that trip. I was out running. I was out jogging, and you know, got back from a run, and this beautiful lady standing there, and you know me, I'm just like, oh hi, how you doing, you know, just talking to her, and I find out it's Nicole Brown, her sister Tanya Brown.
You get her digits?
I got them in my phone.
Oh hey,
yeah, look at
that.
Yeah, I got
don't leave your girl around me, true player for real. That's brought us for real.
But she was there speaking. Yeah, there's no way. That is so far out of it.
No, but this was in your running days. This is when you were, this is back when you were having to put Band-Aids on your nips because you were running so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah.
That chafe was getting you.
Yeah, the chafe was getting me at that
But
time.
Your body was a reflection, dude. I mean, you were rocking and rolling.
Man,
that's
some
machine.
Baby thumbs under those shirts. Damn.
Cutting glass in the summertime with those things.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than like you do, you wear like the white shirt, and you got two red streaks going straight down your shirt.
That looks crazy.
When you don't even think about it when you're running because you don't think about how ridiculous you look.
Yeah.
Because
you don't care. You're tired.
You don't care.
Yeah.
And I've stood next to guys and gals in the corral of a race, of a marathon, and just literally squat down and use the restroom right there in the corral. That right while we're just getting ready to run.
Savages.
Just pull
one
out
or
right
two.
One.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but just right there, like, you don't care. When you're doing that running stuff, you don't care.
Generally, is there porta-johns, like, at
there
certain
is,
checkpoints?
There is, but you don't want to get out of your corral.
Yeah, for sure.
They've got you set up to where your times are certain times, so if you get out, you can't get back in. So people don't want to leave. They just use the restroom right there at the start line. So yeah, there's so much gross things that go on when you're a runner, just awful things. But hey, that part of the nipple thing is I've finished races before and they take pictures of you and your shirt and you're like, oh god, this is embarrassing.
Little blood drips.
A lot of blood drips.
Dang,
like you got shot.
Oh my god.
Like you got
gosh.
Shot both sides of your chest. Huh. That kind of blood.
Do you have scars and stuff like to this day?
I'll tell you,
and you wouldn't wear a red shirt.
No, you don't think about it. I tell you what they did. They came.
If
up,
I bled from my nipples, I would think about it for the rest
came,
of time.
They came up with.
I'll get those things that Taylor Rooks has on her joints.
Well, the nipple guards. They got those now for runners. Like you put them over your.
Yeah.
You can put them over you, and yeah, it helps you that way.
Little pasties.
Yeah, but it's
little Reese's cups.
It's it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing, but. Like I said, you take those pictures and you're like, oh my God, what was I doing? But
she keeps the little paper deal that it sits in.
Yeah, I can use these.
Yeah. All right.
I know just where to put them.
Oh, enough of that. But I'm going to try a half marathon in October. I'm going to get back in it.
For what?
Good luck to you. Look at you, man. Oh, that's
old.
Why you're running with the geese out there.
Yeah, that's why I'm starting to train. I officially start in July, but I'm getting back into the routine of running again. So I'm going to try and do this thing when I'm 60 years old, do a half marathon, see if I can do it. Might be my final one, but we'll
I think
see.
You can.
We'll see. All right, six Dallas Cowboys. God, I would take a lot of time here. Six Dallas Cowboys that are heading on thin ice, heading into this NFL draft. This comes to us from from the fan side folks right there and see if you guys agree with this with the players. At number six, they got Nashawn Wright, the cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wright was considered a late-round pick, and the Cowboys were accused of making a huge reach here. And after three seasons, it still appears that Wright was overdrafted. You think he's a guy on thin ice, Nashawn Wright?
Yeah. Yeah, he's about to be like a journeyman who's, you know, trying to avoid the CFL.
How about this one? Deuce Vaughn.
Yes.
The darling of the 2023 NFL draft class fell in, off in a major way as a rookie. He was added as a sixth-round pick. His father, Chris, is a scout. Chris is a really good scout.
Yeah.
But you feel like the Deuce Vaughn is a guy that's kind of on thin ice going into this draft?
Absolutely.
Yes, he certainly is. The status of the running back room right now wouldn't reflect that, but it'll be interesting to see what it looks like after the draft. I'm assuming they're adding at least one top, you know, like a three-round within the first three rounds, I presume they totally probably get it back in there. So, yeah, he's absolutely on thin ice, but he's got the sponsor in there, huh?
Got some sponsors for sure. How about number four? They've got Junior Fehoko, defensive end.
I mean, just completely absent. A rookie year that no one would remember.
Yeah.
Like, can't tell you one single thing about his rookie year. I just know I never saw him actually.
He was
play.
Inactive like every week. That was a problem. And then he got hurt in practice, and it made it even worse.
Yeesh.
At number three, they got Jalen Tolbert on thin ice.
Yeah.
Good news for Tolbert is he's in a much better spot this season than he was heading into the 2023 campaign. I think they're looking for another wide receiver, though.
Yeah. His status is a rotation guy, but I think he's shown enough that they'll keep him around the 4 years, you know? So next year will be his last year, but he'll be all right for now.
Number two, if they have Terrence Steele.
I mean, you just gave him the contract.
They're thinking about this as they're saying, as frustrating as it was to watch the Cowboys ship off Amari Cooper in 2022 and to pay Michael Gallup, it's even worse to see them fail to learn from their mistake. The fan side saying that Terrence Steele was a mistake with the signing.
Yes, it absolutely was. And we knew it as soon as they did it. It was like a surprise at some point last summer, I think it was when they brought it down on us. It's like, what are we doing? He's off an injury. Why do you keep doing this? And I guess you have the potential out after the 2025 season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's here for this season and for next season.
There's just not somebody savvy enough. I don't know if this is Jerry or Steve or Will, but who's ever deciding to, like, give their players new contracts, there's a significant flaw in that decision-making process, and Steele might be the worst one. You know, I think maybe somebody gets a hold of some stats that say, well, look at this, Steele did this, and the stats say this. And somebody that watches film needs to come along and be like, guys, just watch him play.
Yeah.
He's barely hanging onto a life vest. And maybe his stats say he did a pretty good job, but he's not someone we want to give $18 million a year to. What the hell are we doing?
And quickly here, Tiger Woods just finished his round. He was even par for the day. That means he's one over. He made the cut at the Masters. So good for him. He'll be here for the weekend. And the last guy they have is Mike McCarthy, who's on thin ice.
Yeah.
Even if it's not fair, Mike McCarthy enters this
impossible
draft sliding all over the ice. The Cowboys front office continues to do things their own way despite the continued failures. Mike McCarthy, thin ice guy?
Yeah. He's sweating on that ice.
100%.
So is that ice.
Yeah.
And those are the six that are on the thin ice. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, DeChambeau leads at 7-under. He's through 12. Scheffler took a bogue. So he's through 6 and 1 off the pace now, tied with Max Homa at 6-under par.
Dude, Tiger's still jacked. You can just see the muscles protruding out of his shirt.
Yeah.
He looks fit in a way that, like, you worry about him walking and limping around and all that. He actually looks like his gait and everything is good.
Yes.
If he could find something over the weekend, man, that would be a lot of fun.
You have no idea how many, like, patches and things he's got under his shirt to keep his back warm or whatever.
Tape.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff.
He's got the
Luka
tape all over him. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it takes, man. I mean, this is a cool step in the right direction.
It is.
And maybe Tiger, if he can play the next 3 months, can build off something. And obviously, he still has the strength. He's pretty good off the tee. His swing is definitely not the same. You can see a hint of pain in the swing, especially in the fall through. Anyway, it's a success. He made the cut. Congrats to him. That's a record, by the way, 24 in a row. NFL News of the Day is coming up next. Chief, where are you taking us?
It's bulking season for this Cowboy. A Rashee Rice update and some Man 101 next here in the nation.